Hello, and welcome to our program. My name is Jeff Demuy, and I'll be reading Natural Living here on Sight into Sound Radio. Today, we'll continue reading from the newsstand publication, Learn to Beat Inflammation, How to Improve Your Lifestyle to Prevent, Control, and Reduce Chronic Inflammation. Today, we'll pick up from where we left off last week in an article called The A to Z's of Better Sleep. Get a good night's rest with these expert-backed bedtime hacks. Wow, we've gotten all the way up to insomnia. So, I is for insomnia. Do you struggle to fall asleep in under 30 minutes? Do you wake up regularly through the night? Do you feel that your daytime functioning is negatively impacted? If it's been happening for over 3 months, this is insomnia. You don't have to accept it, though. CBT, or Cognitive Behavior Therapy, for insomnia is a recommended treatment which is so effective that studies show up to 85% of people will see improved sleep often in under 4 weeks, says Catherine Pinkman, founder of the Insomnia Clinic. CBT works by tackling the physical side of the condition and realigning your body clock. Next up, J. J is for just eat. Sleep-friendly foods are packed with tryptophan, which is an amino acid that boosts the sleep hormone melatonin. Turkey, milk, walnuts, and pumpkin seeds are all good sources to snack on before bed. K is for keep calm. If you're feeling stressed before bed, focus on breathing deeply and slowly, inhaling for a count of 4 through the nose and exhaling for 7 seconds through the mouth, says stress and relaxation expert and motivational speaker Carol Spears. L is for life-saving. Getting adequate amounts of sleep can add years to your life and reduce the risk of obesity, heart disease, diabetes, cancer, and dementia. Almost every known ailment is linked in some way to poor sleep. Sleep deprivation increases our risk of developing health issues, and it reduces our body's ability to cope with them, says Professor Jason Ellis, director of the Northumbria Center of Sleep Research. M is for the magic of magnesium. Low magnesium levels are linked to restlessness and frequent waking, and research shows a supplement can improve sleep quality. Consider taking a magnesium supplement. This would be a calming concoction of ocean-sourced magnesium with calcium and 5-HTP. You'd want to consult with your doctor before trying that. Next, N is for naked. Only 1 in 5 folks sleep in the buff, despite there being proven advantages to the practice. Reasons to be bare include better body temperature regulation, promoting a deeper sleep and faster metabolism. You'll also get a boost of oxytocin from skin-to-skin contact if sleeping with a naked partner as well. Next, O is for oils. Aromatherapy oils not only make your bedroom smell good, but they relieve stress and promote relaxation, allowing you to drop off faster. Try sleep-inducing classic lavender, yang-yang, clary sage, or jasmine misted into the air via diffuser. Next, P is for position power. Poor sleep has been linked to raised levels in brain tissue of protein deposits associated with Alzheimer's disease. Although most are swept away overnight, sleeping position can determine how effectively this happens. One study showed that brain cleansing was more effective in mice that slept on their sides than on their backs. Something to keep in mind. Q is for quiet time. If you're one of the 30% of people who can't snooze in silence, download the Noisily app, or Noisily.com app. The soothing audio includes white, pink, and brown noise, everything from a whirring fan to forest noise with birdsong, all to help you unwind and nod off gradually. R is for recovering sleep. Don't fret about occasional sleep deprivation, as it's lighter sleep that's lost. Nearly half of sleep consists of light sleep, a quarter of deep sleep, and a quarter of rapid eye movement, or REM sleep. If you lose sleep one night, deep and REM sleep increases the next, says Dr. Chris Didzowski, author of Sleep Well. Next, S is for snoring. There are approximately 15 million snorers in the United Kingdom, according to the British Snoring and Sleep Apnea Association. There are many causes which contribute to snoring, so feel free to consult with your primary care physician about this. Next, T. T is for tension. If you lie in bed with a tensed up body and jaw, your sleep will suffer. To relax, squeeze the muscles in your feet, hold, and then release. Move up through your body doing the same until you reach the top of the head, suggests Claire Dale and Patricia Payton, authors of Physical Intelligence. U is for urinary urge. 1 in 10 people under 45 has to urinate in the night, and this increases with age. Needing to urinate more than twice a night is called nocturia and can be caused by diabetes, sleep apnea, hormonal changes, a weak pelvic floor, or too much fluid before bed. If nocturia persists, contact your primary care physician to rule out a urinary tract infection, or UTI. Next, V is for vivid dreams. Ever wondered why you have crazy and memorable dreams? Around 25% of our night's sleep is spent in rapid eye movement, or REM sleep. That's the sleep stage important for learning and memory. Because brain activity is similar to that of being awake during REM sleep, it's when we dream most intensely, according to scientists. Stress, sleep deprivation, certain medications, and hormone fluctuations have all been linked to more vivid dreams, says the Sleep Council. W is for wind down and wake up. Consider getting a sleep lamp for better bedtimes. These are special lamps that can sync up your nighttime and morning routines or mimic sunset and sunrise with a full color spectrum. X is for xerostomia. This is the medical term for a dry mouth. Saliva production can decrease by 40% as we age, and fluctuating hormones during menopause may exacerbate things. A dry mouth can disturb sleep and affect tooth and gum health. Drinking plenty during the day, sleeping with a humidifier, and avoiding alcohol-based mouthwash will all help. Y is for yesternight. If you're lying awake, feeling the hours slip away, turn the clock away or move it to a different room if you can. Seeing time move on will increase your anxiety and keep you awake longer, says Carol Spears. Finally, Z is for zinc. Zinc is an essential mineral and antioxidant, and it's key for sleep regulation. So consider a zinc supplement. Once again, consulting with a physician would be a good idea. Our next article is called Breathe and Sleep: How Meditation Can Help People Go to Sleep and Thereby Reduce Inflammation. Although sleep is undoubtedly good for health in general, and reducing inflammation in particular, it's not always easy to get to sleep. A third of adults find it difficult to fall or stay asleep at least once a week, with between 6 and 10% suffering from clinical insomnia. Sleep difficulties are also strongly correlated with many of the disorders linked to chronic inflammation, including heart disease and obesity. So, being able to get to sleep and stay asleep will help on many different levels. Meditation is one way of achieving this. A huge range of research has confirmed that meditation produces general benefits to health, so even if it doesn't help you sleep, it will help in other ways. But in most cases, it will help, so let's see how that happens and what to do to gain the most from sleep meditation. A common factor for many people suffering from sleep problems is chronic stress, which is, of course, closely related to chronic inflammation. Meditation relieves stress by helping to reduce the activity in the amygdala, one of the oldest parts of the brain, which is directly connected to the fight-or-flight stress reaction. Dampening the amygdala reduces the secretion of stress hormones such as cortisol and enables the body to switch into its rest-digest state. This helps put the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous systems back into balance. With the parasympathetic nervous system properly activated, the body slows its heart rate and breathing and lowers blood pressure, allowing it to relax towards the sleep state. On a purely mental level, people often find that meditation, which focuses concentration upon the present moment, allows them to put aside the jumble of worries and plans that can spin through the mind, preventing them from getting to sleep. There are a number of meditation techniques that are useful in getting to sleep. Mindfulness meditation encourages focus upon the present moment while allowing thoughts and emotions to simply pass through consciousness. When it comes to aiding sleep, we're encouraged to concentrate on breathing, letting thoughts come and go, but returning our focus to our breath in the present. Guided meditations, which are available on many apps, use a recording to help the listener towards sleep through imagery and the imagination. Body scan meditation involves moving our mental focus through all the different parts of the body, allowing us to become aware of hidden tensions so that we can relax them and move on. There are other forms of meditation, including yoga, qigong, and tai chi, which might prove useful. Online searching may produce links to these that should be helpful if you wish to try them. Me, personally, I'm a big fan of tai chi. There's no right or wrong way in this. It's all about what works for you. The next section we'll read about is about nutrition. Our first article is called Gut Health and Inflammation: Improve Your Gut Health for a Positive Impact on Inflammation in Your Body. The gut plays an important role in your physical and mental health, and by managing your gut health, you can also help to relieve symptoms of inflammation elsewhere in your body. The term gut is another word for your gastrointestinal or GI system or digestive tract. While we might think about the gut as being in our stomach area, as that is where many symptoms of a problem present themselves, it actually runs from your mouth to the rectum. Our gut health refers to the healthy function and balance of the entire digestive system. Along with our circulatory system, muscular system, and respiratory system, it's one of the key processes in the human body. Within our body is the microbiome, something that we're only really beginning to understand the importance of. Studies into the human microbiome have intensified in recent years as research begins to reveal just how key it is to our health. Some of the most recent studies suggest that the microbiome could contain up to 100 trillion microbes, tiny living organisms that are too small to be seen with the naked eye. Microbes include bacteria, viruses, and fungi, and the bulk of these live within the gut, making it an essential organ that we can't function without. It impacts on everything from your digestion to your brain health and immunity. In fact, you have more bacteria cells than you do have human cells in your body, which illustrates just how important they are. Every human gut microbiome is unique, and it's impacted by a multitude of factors, from our diet to our genetics to our lifestyle. For optimum health, you want to have a diverse gut microbiome made up of a wide variety of microbes all working together to support your body. Research shows that a higher microbiome diversity is linked with better overall health. We often think of bacteria as something that should be avoided because they make us ill, but there are plenty of good bacteria that are protective rather than destructive. The gut bacteria in our gut microbiome help us to absorb the vitamins and nutrients vital to our health and regulate bodily systems like bile levels. A balanced gut microbiome helps us to stay in good physical and mental health, whereas an imbalance has been shown to contribute to inflammatory diseases, obesity, high cholesterol, and mental health conditions. Signs of an unhealthy gut. One of the most common questions that gets asked is, how do I know if I have a healthy gut? There are tests out there that analyze your personal microbiome, which is performed on a stool sample. However, you don't need to go through this process to consider the health of your gut and whether you can make improvements. Some signs of an unhealthy gut include gastrointestinal symptoms like gas, bloating, diarrhea, or constipation. The impact may also be felt outside the gut and present in skin problems, for example, or a food sensitivity. You might notice more tiredness than usual and have problems with your sleep or experience headaches and brain fog. Research suggests that as much as 80% of your immune system stems from your gut, so an imbalance could mean you're more prone to illness. It can also have an impact on your hormones, including the release of serotonin, also known as the feel-good hormone. It's important to stress at this point that any of these symptoms can have many other causes, so it's always worth speaking to your doctor if you have symptoms that you can't explain in order to eliminate any underlying causes. By the way, you're listening to Natural Living here on Sight Into Sound Radio. You can listen to Sight Into Sound on HD4 on 88.7 KUHF, Channel 8.5 on TV, streaming on your computer or smartphone as well as your smart speaker. You can also listen at your convenience on our podcast page at sightintosound.org. We are Sight Into Sound Radio since 1967. Let's continue on with our article about digestion and the microbiome. An unhealthy gut makes it harder to maintain good overall health and well-being. The gut is responsible for digesting everything you eat, extracting and absorbing the nutrients you need, and fueling your body. It also cleans toxins and metabolic waste from your body, which it can only do efficiently if it's well-balanced. The gut microbiome is linked to inflammation in the body. When it's out of balance, we can't regulate our metabolism, strengthen our immune system, or defend against infection without the healthy bacteria we need to protect those systems. The presence of some bacteria, that is, bad bacteria, can also be associated with causing inflammation. Therefore, when it comes to maintaining a healthy gut, it means both maintaining good bacteria and eliminating the bad bacteria. Poor gut health can be linked to intestinal diseases such as inflammatory bowel disease, that's IBD, and irritable bowel syndrome, IBS, and some people find that working on improving their gut health can help to manage the symptoms of these diseases. There's a lot more work to be done on understanding the role that an unhealthy gut plays within the body, but it has been linked to heart health, blood sugar, and risk of diabetes, in addition to brain health. One of the main contributory factors towards good gut health is your diet and eating the right foods. However, there are other lifestyle factors that can impact on your gut health and microbiome. This includes whether you drink alcohol and how much, whether you get enough good quality sleep, and your stress levels. Therefore, if you follow the advice elsewhere in this book to get inflammation under control, you'll be helping to improve your gut health too. Next, gut health and your diet. A healthy, balanced diet is absolutely key when it comes to your gut health. There are some specific foods that you can choose to add in for specific benefits, but the most important thing is to eat well most of the time and limit foods that are bad for your gut. The other key thing is diversity. Don't forget you're trying to feed and fuel millions of microbes that all have a different purpose and need different nutrients to thrive. There are thought to be almost 100 types of fiber and thousands of phytochemicals from plants that aid healthy gut microbiome. The best thing that you can do immediately to start improving your gut health is to make sure that your diet is packed with lots of healthy, whole foods. For a start, add in more fruits and vegetables, at least the recommended 5 a day, but more if you can. Don't just stick to the same fruits and vegetables all the time. Try and introduce as many different types and colors as possible. For example, think about, quote, eating the rainbow by including a wide range of colored foods on your plate throughout the day and the week. This doesn't have to be complicated. If you usually buy red grapes, try green ones. Get a pack of mixed peppers and not just the red ones. Exotic mushrooms instead of button mushrooms. Experiment with purple carrots, sweet potatoes, and green tomatoes. You could set yourself a challenge to aim to include one new-to-you fruit or vegetable a week to improve your diversity. It's a good idea to eat seasonal fruit and vegetables if that's possible. If you're eating these foods at their peak when they're grown in their optimum conditions, then they'll have higher concentrations of nutrients. If you find it hard to eat enough fruit and vegetables as it is, then look at ways that you can add them to your usual meals and snacks. For example, switch up your porridge toppings, blend berries into your yogurt, or serve your main meal with a side salad. As well as your fruits and vegetables, try and increase your intake of other plant foods as well. A good rule of thumb is to aim for 30 different plant-based foods per week. This includes whole grains, legumes, pulses, nuts, and seeds. You don't need to eat a vegetarian, vegan, or plant-based diet if you don't want to. You can increase your intake of plant foods alongside lean meats, dairy products, and good fats. This way of eating mirrors the Mediterranean diet, which is widely considered to be one of the healthiest, most balanced ways of eating. In addition to what you eat, consider the way in which you eat. Take time with your meals and get in the habit of eating mindfully, chewing your food properly to aid digestion. Try and sit upright at a table rather than on a sofa, as this also helps your digestive tract to process foods. Best foods for gut health. While a balanced, healthy, and varied diet is best, there are some nutrients that are particularly good for supporting your gut health. Most of us don't eat enough fiber. Ideally, we want about 30 grams of dietary fiber per day as an adult. Eating enough fiber has been linked with a lower risk of heart disease, stroke, type 2 diabetes, and some cancers. Fiber aids digestion and therefore improves our overall gut health. You can get fiber in your diet by making some simple swaps. For example, picking wholemeal bread and pasta, eating porridge oats for breakfast, adding pulses and beans to salads and stews, and eating a small amount of dried fruits. Fibrous vegetables include carrots, beetroot, broccoli, peas, squash, and potatoes. You can support your gut health further by eating prebiotics and probiotics. You don't need to take supplements, as you can get these nutrients from your daily diet. Prebiotics feed the healthy bacteria in your body, and you can get this from things like leeks, onions, bananas, garlic, asparagus, spinach, and porridge oats. Probiotics are made with live bacterial culture, so they'll enhance your microbiome's diversity. These types of foods include yogurts with live cultures, some pickles, sourdough, kefir, kimchi, miso, and other fermented foods. Plant foods contain polyphenols, which support our gut health, have antioxidant properties, and help to reduce inflammation. You'll get plenty of different polyphenols by eating a diverse range of fruits and vegetables. However, you can also get polyphenols from some spices like turmeric and ginger, drinks like coffee, green tea, and red wine, and even dark chocolate. Finally, make sure you have enough omega-3 fatty acids, which help to balance your microbiome and decrease inflammation. Fish is a major source of omega-3, so opt for oily fish like salmon or mackerel. Plant sources include flax seeds, chia seeds, and walnuts. Of course, there are some foods that have the opposite effect and can negatively impact on gut health. This includes most processed foods, those high in sugar, salt, and fat. While it's okay to have a small amount of junk foods, they shouldn't make up the majority of your diet. They lack the nutrients that we need to help ensure that your gut microbiome remains healthy, and they don't create conditions in which healthy bacteria can thrive. It might seem a lot, but small changes really can make a big difference. If you start to prioritize your gut health, you can also impact on inflammation elsewhere in the body. It doesn't take long to notice the differences of improved gut health. You may start having increased energy levels, better digestion, improved skin condition, enhanced focus and concentration, and better sleep. So, look after your gut. Next up, we've got a sidebar about fermented foods. Eating foods made from live cultures can help your gut microbiome thrive. Eating a variety of fermented foods can improve the diversity and health of your gut. They help to introduce a mix of bacteria for optimum health, as well as strengthen the walls of your intestines, which prevents them from leaking any toxins into your bloodstream. Fermented foods can help to bolster the immune system by introducing new bacteria into the microbiome for the body to learn to work with. If you're not used to eating fermented foods, start slowly. Introducing a lot all in one go will likely cause an upset stomach. You need to introduce probiotics a little at a time so your body can learn how to respond to them. Foods you can try include kefir, which is a cultured dairy product that you can eat instead of or mixed into yogurt. Tempeh is made from fermented soybeans, so you can use this instead of tofu, for example. Kombucha is a fermented tea drink. Miso is made from fermented soybeans and is a good seasoning for soups or stock. And kimchi is made from fermented cabbage that is great with a salad. Again, variety is important, so look to include a few different fermented foods each week and mix it up. Our next article is Essential Anti-Inflammatory Foods. Discover some of the best foods for strengthening your body's anti-inflammatory shield. The phrase, "you are what you eat," is well known, but for many, the extent of the influence your diet holds over specific elements of your health is far less known. You're frequently told which foods should be labeled as healthy or junk food, but which micronutrients make different foods healthy? By analyzing the nutritional biochemistry of each food type, you will discover the best food combinations for your body. Diet is one of the leading factors in the likelihood of experiencing inflammation and, for sufferers of chronic inflammation, food choices become as vital as taking medication. Mostly this means consuming a range of foods to ensure that your body is exposed to a multitude of antioxidants and other nutrients. When considering the impact of consumed food on inflammatory health, you must acknowledge the two benefits of foods for controlling inflammation. Some foods trigger inflammation, while others fight it. The inflammatory response is beneficial in some instances, as controlled inflammation after tissue damage and infection ensures that the body heals faster. However, there's a fine balance, and inflammatory food types can escalate inflammation to harmful, chronic levels. Anti-inflammatory foods should be incorporated at some level into all diets as a way to prevent inflammatory diseases from arising. Those who experience the symptoms of such diseases, causing long-lasting or severe pain and swelling, can seek out essential anti-inflammatory foods to be used as a central element of any meal. Here's a breakdown of what you might find on your plate so that you know which food types to incorporate more of into your meals and which your body will not thank you for. First, protein preferences. Protein is essential for all of your body's cells. Without a good variation of proteins in your diet, cells can't repair themselves or generate new ones that well. However, unless you've entered into a protein deficiency, in which case any protein will help to reduce the swelling this causes in the body, it's only certain types of protein that are actively anti-inflammatory. Depriving your body of proteinaceous foods, you're more likely to encounter a severe infection. Yet, you can also consume too much protein, especially if they come from animal sources. To make sure you don't eat protein in excess, you should follow the recommended daily amount. That's 46 grams for women and 56 grams for men. The most anti-inflammatory proteins are lean proteins, such as protein-rich vegetables, legumes, and fish. Legumes and beans are plentiful in protein as well as being full of fiber. Both of these macronutrients are recognized for lowering inflammation. Fiber is a type of carbohydrate that the body can't digest properly. This helps to slow down the uptake of glucose into the blood, reducing inflammation caused by high blood sugar levels. Despite their benefits on paper, beans may cause inflammation in some people. If this is the case for you, try soaking and cooking the beans first in order to remove proteins called lectins. Beans and legumes are some of many food types that contain these proteins. Lectins bind to carbohydrates and can prevent other nutrients from being absorbed. The most effective beans for combating inflammation are chickpeas, lentils, black beans, pinto beans, red beans, and black-eyed peas. To add these successfully into your meals, try each one and assess how well your body responds to them. Everyone reacts differently, so you should avoid those that you may be sensitive to. On a macronutrient level, fish is a highly proteinaceous food that is also low in fat. But it is the omega-3 fatty acids in this food type that lower inflammation in their consumers and reduce their chance of heart disease. There are three types of omega-3 fatty acids: alpha-linoleic acid, that's ALA, eicosapentaenoic acid, or EPA, and docohexaenoic acid, or DHA. DHA and EPA are highly prevalent in fish, with the former believed to produce the strongest anti-inflammatory effect. To obtain DHA and EPA on a plant-based diet, you should eat plants such as seaweed and nori. This is the source of omega-3 that the fish eat themselves to achieve such high levels. Salmon, mackerel, and tuna in particular have the highest concentration of these fatty acids. The unsaturated fats in omega-3 improve your heart health by tackling inflammation in blood vessels. inflammation of the blood vessels is especially harmful because it causes them to narrow. This can lead to a buildup of plaque and increase blood pressure substantially. Incorporating foods that are high in omega-3 regularly into your diet is a great way to assist your heart in functioning the best that it can. This has been proven in many studies, one of which involved analyzing the heart health of 51,000 people. The findings showed that fish can really save your life. Those in the study who ate fish at least twice a week had a 16% lower rate of experiencing a major cardiovascular event such as a heart attack, compared to the group who didn't eat any fish. And now we've come to the end of our program. I've been reading Natural Living. I'm Jeff DeMuy, and this has been a production of Sight into Sound Radio, Houston, Texas.